We hear the families talk about the struggles. We see it. You know, sometimes I wonder, do our leaders see it? And so that's our job. We need to make sure that they see it.
Hey, I'm Eric Etheridge.
And I'm Danielle Webster. Thank you for joining us once again for another episode of Prairie Beat.
If you're new to the game, it's our weekly news podcast from the newsroom of Prairie Public. Danielle, I have just this gut feeling about what we're talking about today.
Yeah, if you're feeling we will once again be talking about the federal government shutdown, then yes, your feelings are spot on.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago we were talking about the shutdown, which as of this record is in its 29th day. And no breaking news. It's not, the government's not open. So closing in on becoming the longest shutdown in our history. The longest was 35 days. And when we first talked about this, we were talking about what was behind the shutdown. Lawmakers in D.C. could not come to an agreement on a continuing resolution to keep the government funded. Democrats wanted to extend subsidies for the Affordable Care Act, and Republicans don't. Neither side is willing to budge, and I thought it was interesting, notable really, that every insurance commissioner in the country was in agreement about extending said subsidies.
Yeah, and I talked to our own insurance commissioner here in North Dakota, John Gottfried. He was pretty clear with his position, which his position is, we can talk about health care and insurance reform, but now is not the time to do that. We need to extend the tax credits. Otherwise, premiums for the Affordable Care Act plans will double or triple.
So clearly a huge issue that is poised to have a lot of ripple effect, but with the government still not functioning, it's been almost a month now, we are seeing those ripple effects get wider and wider. Now, Danielle, I've been reading about lots of federal workers going on furloughs or just straight up getting fired. People like air traffic controllers who have really stressful jobs. I heard a story on NPR this morning where the somebody from the controllers union was saying, hey, it's not really a great scenario for us to be distracted and be thinking about the shutdown when we're trying to do our jobs. Now, they added, you know, everything is safe. We're, you know, the planes are going to be safe and all that. But still, I mean, these are stressful jobs. They're not getting paid. Lots of community response to help these folks as well. I know some airports are rolling out the red carpet for controllers and feeding them lunch and stuff like that. Because as we know, most people are only a paycheck or two away from some serious financial problems.
Yes, that's exactly it. Food pantries across the country have been stepping up to respond to this growing need. So folks, as they're missing their paychecks, at least they can get some food on the table. But there is another layer of this that's about to ripple out as well. The Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, will run out of funds on November 1st. And there are roughly 42 million people who utilize this government program nationwide. Here in North Dakota, it's about 57,000 people.
Yeah, it's like the size of Grand Forks. Danielle, with this being so far the second longest shutdown ever, I feel like I don't remember food assistance ever running out.
Yeah, that's because it hasn't happened before. So the Department of Agriculture actually has a contingency fund of about $5 billion to keep those benefits turned on for 2 or 3 weeks in the event of something like this happening. But last week, the Trump administration announced the Ag Department declined to tap that fund. And so now states are scrambling to figure out what to do next.
I did see that we reported last week, Governor Kelly Armstrong mentioned he was meeting with state agencies to get to work on a response. And you actually had a story last week, too, with the Great Plains Food Bank talking about how communities had begun stepping up.
Yes, and that is still happening this week.
Marsha Paulson, Chief Philanthropy Officer for the Great Plains Food Bank.
Marsha Paulson says the Great Plains Food Bank is gearing up for a big swing at this crisis, and they've launched a response campaign.
What this campaign is going to allow us to do is bring in an additional 1 million pounds over the next couple months to infuse our partner network with the resources that they need to give out to their neighbors in hundreds of communities across the state.
She says they're looking to raise $500,000, and $1 amounts to 2 pounds of food. The Great Plains Food Bank distributes to 196 partner food pantries, shelters, and kitchens across North Dakota and also in Clay County, Minnesota. Paulson says they typically distribute 1 million pounds of food in a month already, so they're just working to beef up their capabilities.
Okay, so 57,000 people utilize SNAP in North Dakota. I know there are some fairly strict guidelines for that. How many people is the food bank reaching these days?
They track that pretty closely. Marsha Paulson told me in their last year, which ended in June, they served 160,000 people. And over the years, in my reporting on the Great Plains Food Bank, food insecurity has really ballooned. I remember years ago, they used to say it was 1 in 12 North Dakotans, and then it was 1 in 10 North Dakotans. And now they're saying it's 1 in 5 North Dakotans, and that includes 1 in 4 children. So with federal workers not being paid, 57,000 North Dakotans unable to use SNAP benefits, they will be serving more people.
Yeah, you talk about ripple effects, and you talk about the housing crisis and the unhoused population that some communities are grappling with right now and where to put engagement centers and whatnot. I just cannot imagine that the population of people that don't have shelter after losing food benefits isn't going to balloon itself. So you'd have to think that with grocery stores, big box retailers, and other places folks would shop with their SNAP benefits, they're no longer getting that income. That could manifest in some effects that reach everyone else. You would figure that prices might even go up more at the grocery store.
Yeah, and you know, I've reported on hunger and poverty just in general for a long time in my job. There's been a lot of response work done on the issue. For example, United Way of Cass Clay this year got a lot of local response systems involved to work on local homelessness in the Fargo-Moorhead area. And when I was talking to Marsha Paulson, I also remembered that the Great Plains Food Bank once announced they wanted to end hunger in 10 years. And these folks work really hard. They make impacts in these communities, but it seems like no matter what they do, the issues only grow. They only get worse. So I asked her about that. Like, what is it like for you guys working to help get these communities fed?
It is very hard to see neighbors hurting. It's hard when we see the charitable sector working so hard to meet need. We see the government sector through charitable nutrition programs working hard to meet need, and it's necessary for both the charitable sector and our government nutrition programs to work hand in hand, because neither one are the full solution. And when we have this immediate crisis right now with millions of meals not being available to our neighbors, it's very disheartening.
You know, it's like moving the goalpost. You know, they want to end hunger. That's their goal. It's a noble goal, and it should be an attainable goal in this country. But the challenges get even wider when we have more challenges like this, like the shutdown and the SNAP benefits. I don't even know what to say about that. It's just really difficult to hear folks that are trying to help people just struggling and maybe even questioning or losing faith.
One thing that I will add is that in my experience as well, in reporting on this stuff for years now and talking to these people who work in these sectors are optimistic and hopeful to a fault. I mean, they look at an issue in front of them and they don't freeze. Their first response is just, okay, what do we do? Let's get to work. So Marsha Paulson, she was very quick to pivot to that.
We need to keep working every day to do what we can as individuals, as the nonprofit sector, as the faith community, the business community, the civic community, and our government partners to end hunger together. And I truly believe that. That's what gets me up every day. And we will move through this. We're hoping that at least this immediate SNAP crisis is going to be resolved.
Yeah, that's very North Dakota, isn't it? You
yes.
know, it just really is. That spirit. And thank goodness we have that here. We need it. Did she say how communities can get involved in this campaign?
Yes. She says people are always welcome to donate food to their local pantries or right at the Great Plains Food Bank, prioritizing items like beans, peanut butter, canned meats, meal kits, pasta, tomato sauces, soups, and also hygiene products as well. Those are things that people tend to need. And she also says, you know, you can just log on to the Great Plains Food Bank website. They take monetary donations, which help a lot. And she says people can also donate their time. They can volunteer for packing shifts or sign up to run their own food drives. So there are lots of ways that folks can get involved.
Yeah, when we feel powerless, that's a powerful thing we could do is give of our time. So what other stories have you guys been following in the Prairie Public Newsroom?
Preliminary information suggests that the victim and the suspect were known to each other.
Fargo police have made an arrest connected to a homicide Monday night.
Think of people like Drew Shadeen, Sherry Arnold, Savannah Graywind.
Two new emergency alerts are being utilized in the state.
Education policy has gotten tribal, where you either think that our schools are failing or that they're perfect.
And a callback to last week, North Dakota's new state school superintendent says he's eager to work on a major issue facing public education, teacher recruitment and retention.
All right, that'll do it this week for Prairie Beat. I'm Eric Etheridge.
And I'm Danielle Webster. We'll see you on the beat next week.